All right. So the Gemara tells us in Masechus Yuma Daf Pehei, searching that there's pekuach nefesh is doy for Shabbos, life-threatening situations. One is allowed to violate Shabbos in order to save a life. But the Gemara searches for a source for this halacha and suggests different possibilities along the way. The conclusion of the Gemara is that it's based on the pasuk in Parshas Achrim, that we should live through the mitzvahs, not die through the mitzvahs. And the Gemara says that that is preferable to all the other reasons that were suggested along the way, because it includes even a safik pikuach nefesh. What is considered to be a safik pikuach nefesh, that one can be doich Shabbos, which of course is the reason why we prefer this final answer of the Gemara, v'chaipam v'loshayomus behem. So Shelton, the Bikvei Atzon, outlines three categories of sveikis. Most of the marmakamis we're going to quote are on the list of marmakamis you received at the beginning. So Shelton, the Bikvei Atzon, outlines three categories of safik, which he applies to other areas of halacha too, but most directly, and for relevant for our discussion, to this area of halacha, and that is that there's a kind of a suffix which is echa mine alafim, one in, you know, a thousand, for all intents and purposes, a far-fetched chashash, which he quotes there from a Pischei Tshuva, quotes the name of some sefer, that we wouldn't allow you to be Machal Shabbos for such a situation. His example was that they were afraid after they buried the mason that perhaps we bury someone who was alive. And this happens. You could Google it. I've searched for it. There are oftentimes people pronounced dead, death certificates are signed, and then they come back to life. It happens. One woman happened to twice, actually. But it's something happened. Okay, it's rare, exceedingly. So they wanted to wait 3 days before burying all the mesim in order to make sure that they were really dead. And in fact, the Masechta Smachos, the Braisa quotes that there was once that they buried someone and they heard him knocking on the door of the vault, let me out, you know, he was still alive. So you see, it can happen. Nonetheless, the Sam Sefer says, this is such a far-fetched chashash. This is something that is so remote that we're not going to all of a sudden now change our burial practices to be afraid for it. And it's not something we would permit someone to be Machal Shabbos for such a small percentage, such a remote possibility. Even though, let's say a guy stubs his toe and then he says, I'm scared, I'm going to die. Because I once read in the National Enquirer as I was checking out of the grocery store that someone died from an ingrown toenail, a stubbed toenail. So he says, ingrown toenail could actually get infected. It could be a serious issue. But okay, you know, so that a guy, you know, whatever, he woke up and his neck is hurt. You know, it's something ridiculous. So then we wouldn't allow him to be Mechal Shabbos if that would be that would be such a far-fetched chashash. We wouldn't allow him to be Mechal Shabbos no matter how nervous he is. Nonetheless, on the other end, you know, in the end of the extreme, the Ramban of the Torah Sa'adam writes in the Magen Avraham, quotes like that in the name of the Radvaz, that if you have something that is a Mira Matzoi, you know, it's a 10% chance that a person's life is in danger, so then it's not absolute certainty, but it's a Mira Matzoi, a significant minority, so then we would make you be Mechal Shabbos. Nothing to do with how you feel about it. Even if a guy says, I'm fine, I'm good, you know, let me be, we wouldn't allow you to do that. We would force you, compel you, obviously within reason, but to bring you to a doctor and encourage you to be Mechal Shabbos. But then there's a middle category, somewhere in between a Mira Matzoi, significant minority of 10%, and a remote possibility of the National Enquirer as you're checking out of the grocery store, right? So there's a lot of gray area in between that. So in that situation, Shechta quotes in the Chafetz Chaim and Chazanish that in different scenarios they encountered, that it would depend on how a person himself is feeling. You know, if they're nervous, we would permit you to be Mechal Shabbos, wouldn't necessarily compel you to do that. But if you're not nervous, you know, then you have the right to say, I'm not nervous, and let it go at that. Rabbi Neuberger, I think, quoted from the Aruch HaShulchan that we know how we conduct ourselves during the week. You know, if a person would go to a doctor during the week, okay, then that's a safek pikuach nefesh. Or, you know, he would treat us if they call the ambulance during the week, okay, then that's a pikuach nefesh on Shabbos too. If he wouldn't do it during the week, it's not a pikuach nefesh on Shabbos either. Before we got to the conclusion of the Gemara that we derived, they had to be kuach nefesh from the pasuk of Achai v'hem v'loshi yomus v'hem, the Gemara suggested a different source based on the pasuk of Hashem v'nei Yisrael says Shabbos, Lassus says Shabbos, Chai Yisrael keeps the Shabbos in order to keep the Shabbos, Mechal on Shabbos achas k'dei sheyishma Shabbos is harbe. We can violate one Shabbos in order to keep many other Shabboses, right? Because that's how the pasuk implies. Chai Yisrael keeps Shabbos, Lassus says Shabbos. So if you're keeping of Shabbos, though, it's going to preclude you from keeping Shabbos in the future. Because if I keep Shabbos now, I'm not going to be Mechal Shabbos with Koach Nefesh. I won't be around like Shabbos to keep Shabbos. That's not keeping Shabbos. Keeping Shabbos is only if you keep it in such a way that I'm around like Shabbos to observe Shabbos. Chalel av Shabbos achas, k'dei sheyishma Shabbos is harbi. The Gemara ended up rejecting that reason. The Gemara concluded it's based on v'chai b'hem v'loshi yomus b'hem. But what happened to that reason Did we just add a second reason to that? Like, besides that, we also have a chai ben moshi yamos behem? Or did we replace that reason entirely, and that reason is, you know, back in the dustbin of all the havaminas throughout the Gemara, but does not really have any traction, lamaisa. So this issue, the Netziv suggests in his Hemek She'ela, is really the basis for machloikas between the Ramban and the Baal Halachas Gedolos about being machal Shabbos for an ubar, for a fetus. Let's say a woman is pregnant, she's afraid she's going to lose the pregnancy. But we don't have a baby who's born yet without getting involved in the whole abortion discussion. Right? The baby's not born yet in order to be considered having a chazaka on life, right? He hasn't been born yet. So should we be machal Shabbos for the ubar because of future considerations? Because he later will be born and hopefully will be a bar kayama? Or should we say, well, no, right now he's not v'chai b'hem v'lo shiyamas b'hem. So if we're just going to have the reason of v'chai b'hem v'lo shiyamas b'hem, there might not be sufficient grounds to be mechal Shabbos for an Uber. And in fact, that's the opinion of the Ramban. He cannot be mechal Shabbos in order to save a pregnancy. The Baal Halachas Gedolos disagrees. And he holds, no, but we also have to consider the future over here. And this child will be born, hopefully will be a bar kayama, so we can apply the other reason of the Gemara. And if not v'chai b'hem v'lo shiyamas b'hem, we could apply chalel of Shabbos achas. Kadesh Yishma Shabbos is Harbe. Violate this Shabbos in order so that the Uber will be around in future Shabbos to keep Shabbos. The Bir Halacha quotes this machlokes between the Baal Halachas Gedolos and the Ramban, and he's noita lekula that we should paskin like the Ramban, even though it sounds like it's against the Shulchan Aruch, that we don't take into consideration future issues. This is all I know. The Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says if you have a suffek, in the times of the Gemara, there were two types of pregnancies, of course. There was a 7-month pregnancy and a 9-month pregnancy, each considered to be full term. And then there was an 8-month pregnancy, where the child was vadai lav bar kayama. He was certainly not going to make it. In which case, you would certainly not be permitted to be mechal Shabbos. So the Shulchan Aruch discusses, what if it's a safek ben zayin, safek ben ches? I don't know. Is it a bar kayama or is it a vadai nefil? We don't know. So the Shulchan Aruch says he can't be mechal Shabbos. But that's the situation by every Uber. Every Uber is always a safek nefil, safek bar kayama. So the Bir Halacha says, it sounds like from the Shulchan Aruch, he cannot be Mechal Shabbos to save an Uber, who we don't know his status. And the Bir Halacha, that's where the Bir Halacha disagrees. And he says, no, that we should pass like the Baal Halachas Gedolos. He could be Mekel for every Uber, even though it's a Safek Nefel, Safek Bar Kayama, we could be Mechal Shabbos. The Dr. Abraham and the Nishmas Avram, which if you're not familiar with that, you should be. It's the Bible of halachic medical ethics. You should own a copy of it. So in Dr. Abraham's Nishma Savra, as well as he quotes there from the Chazanish, it appears in the Chazanish also, that with regards to this halacha, that an 8-month baby is considered to be a vadei nefil, you're not allowed to be mechal Shabbos. Of course, with regards to this halacha, we would either say, however you want to phrase it, nishtanu hatvoim, either that 8-month babies now make it, or nishtanu harafuos, that our medicinal practices have become advanced, and all 8-month babies are certainly to be considered a bar kayama, and one would be permitted. So there's only 7-month babies too, even 6-month babies are being born during the 6 months, so all of these things would be considered to be at least a Suffolk Bar Kayama, if not a Vada Bar Kayama, and one would be allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for these kinds of babies, and certainly for this kind of pregnancy. So we see that perhaps there is some remnant, right, residual significance to this drasha, which ultimately was rejected by the Gemara of Chalel of Shabbos Achas, Kadesha Yishma, Shabbos is Harbet. Perhaps that's the reason we're Mekel to be Mechal Shabbos for an Uber. We would not apply this far, though, Lachumra. We wouldn't say, well, if you're not going to be around next Shabbos, let's just forget about you this Shabbos. The Shulchan Aruch says in Shin Chav Tesiv Dalet that even if a person we don't think will make it to next Shabbos, we could extend their life somewhat if we'll be Mechal Shabbos this Shabbos. So even if it's just to be Marech, the Chaim of the Goyses, you know, to keep his life going, we'll be Mechal Shabbos for that, because every second of life, of course, is precious. And we Mechal Shabbos, even if it's only Chayisho, we Mechal Shabbos to prolong someone's life. So the only question really is, do we have two as far as that are operative, or do we only have the one of a Chay Behem, Vosh Yamus Behem? Perhaps you see this Svara, though, in a different, not only with regards to the Uber, in a different setting also. The Gemara says in Masechtas Avodah Zarah, you can be Mechal Shabbos for Sakanas Ha'ayin. Because the eye, which Rabbi Neuberger mentioned the other day, Sakanas Ha'ayin was treated the same as Sakanas Nefashis. There was something unique about the eye. Because Suraina De'ena Beliva Talu, because what a person sees with his eye is what he believes in his heart. There's a lot of Musar ideas in that too, that we see what we want to see in our heart. But either way, the Gemara assumed that there was some connection between the eye and the heart. And therefore, he could be Mechal Shabbos for Sakanas Ha'ayin. What about if it's a Sakana of another Aver? So the Rosh there says, no, it's only Sakanas Ayin can be Mechal Shabbos. To save another limb of the body, a finger, a leg, an arm, no, you can't be Mechal Shabbos for Sakanas Aver. only Isurim Durabanan. You can be Mekel and Isurim Durabanan, not to be Mechal Shabbos and Anissa Dairaisa. The Meiri, there in Avodah Zarah, disagrees, and he says, no, any Sakonas Aver is treated just like the eye, you can be Mechal Shabbos even with regards to Anissa Dairaisa. Sakonas Aver is Kisakonas Nefashis. Shaila, can you be Soymech on that Meiri? Because the Meiri was a Das Yochid. So if Shecht in the Bikvei Atzon quotes that the Sri Deyesh and others perhaps found the Tosis in Masech the Sukkah, who seems to agree with the Meiri, but then it's a discussion, maybe it was a Tal Sofer in the Tosis in Masech the Sukkah, maybe he never said it. Then, well, okay, so the whole discussion is the Meiri considered to be a Das Yochid, is it not a Das Yochid? But either way, we typically don't paskin like the Meiri. Maybe one could be, you know, I don't know whether it could be Soymechan, but we don't paskin like the Meiri. We paskin in Shulchan Aruch, Sakonis Eber is not because Sakonis Nefashis, you can only violate Isurin Durabanan. Dr. Abraham writes in Nishmas Avram, I think Rabbi Neuberger mentioned it, that we don't practice this, the Maisa, because how is the layman supposed to know, even a doctor on the scene without any kind of imaging, how are you supposed to know whether it's Sakonis Aver or Sakonis Nefashis? It could be a blood clot, it could be some other complication. So it would almost be reckless to assume that if what is clearly a Sakonis Aver is not Sakonis Nefashis. It's hard to know. Even a broken limb could turn into a Sakonis Nefashis quickly. So Dr. Abraham therefore writes in the Nishmas Avram, we always have to bring people to the hospital and treat it. Every Sakonis Aver like it's a Sakonis Nefashis. But at least strictly, theoretically speaking, Sakonis Aver, you can only violate Isurim Darbana, not Isurim Daraisa. However, this is only with regards to Shabbos. What about with regards to other areas of Halacha? So the Shach writes in Yoredei and Hukas Yarek Vayavar, if someone says, Chas V'Shalom Lo Aleinu, someone says to, give up a limb or violate this Isur. So we know when it comes to giving up your money, you have to give up all your money rather than violate, an Isur. But you don't have to give up your life. Do you unless it's one of the Gimel Averis HaChamuros, or it's B'Shas HaShmad, or it's B'Far Hesia, right? So, but let's say it's in private, it's not a time of religious persecution, you don't have to give up your life rather than violate one of the other Isurim in the Torah, other than Gilei Raisa of Adizara and Shvichus Damin. What about giving up a limb? I have to give up a limb rather than violating Isurim in the Torah? I have to give up all my money, but I don't have to give up my life. How should we treat Sakonis Aver? So the Shach says you don't have to give up an Aver either. This is why, in the whole discussion about donating kidneys, where Moshe writes in the Igros Moshe, even if it won't be a Sakonis Nefashis at all, that's the argument today, is that there isn't really much Sakana anymore. There's always Sakana in every medical procedure, but we assume that kind of risk all the time without really thinking twice about it. So, and certainly surgery, removing an organ is, maybe there's more Sakana than, we typically encounter. But, it's the kind of risk we would generally accept and assume in other settings. Nonetheless, Rav Moshe writes in the Igros Moshe, you can never compel someone to give up an organ in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Leisamer Adam Reyecha, because even if we treat Leisamer Adam Reyecha, not standing idly by where a friend's life is in danger, as a loisase, and not as an ase, it's a loisase, not to stand idly by, and you might have to give up all your money in order to save the life of somebody else, but you certainly don't have to give up a limb. The Shach says that you don't have to giving up a limb, Sakonis Aver, is Kisakonis Nefashis. Rav Moshe says that's why also a kohen, he discusses a kohen who loy aleinu chas v'shalom loses a limb, a finger. Can you reattach it? What's the problem? Well, a limb is metame tumas kohanim. Eiver menachai is metame. Oh, yo. So how can the kohen be metame to his own eiver? How are you going to be allowed to attach his own eiver to him? So Rav Moshe comes up with a complicated svara. It's one of the most difficult shuvos in Rav Moshe, where he says, well, once you it's kind of like a tumah blue. Once you reattach it, it loses its tumah. A complicated svara about tumah blue, and it becomes subsumed within the larger body, and therefore loses its tumah of Eber Menachai. So Rav Moshe, though, but Rav Moshe, in the course of that discussion, makes what I think is a much more compelling argument, which is that you don't have to give up a limb for one of the other Yisurim in the Torah. Tumas Kohanim is not one of the Yimah of Eres HaChamur, so therefore the Kohen is not obligated to give up his limb rather than violate the Yisur of Tumas Kohanim. So Egoi Tal and Nizah Kedama raises this discrepancy. How come when it comes to Ochos Shabbos we paskin, Sakonis Aver is not, because Sakonis Nefashis can only violate the Yisur of Rabbanon. But yet when it comes to Shari Surim, other Yisurim, not Ochos Shabbos, we say Sakonis Aver is because Sakonis Nefashis, and we treat it like giving up your life. You don't have to give up your life in order rather than violate one of the other Yisurim in the Torah. You don't have to give up a limb either. So Egoi Tal explains that it's because Shabbos, Rabbi Neuberger alluded to this, Shabbos perhaps has elements of it that are Yahar Gal Yavor, meaning the Gemara was searching for a reason. How do we know you can violate Shabbos Rikuach Nefesh? And until the Gemara got to V'chayvam V'ol Shiyamas B'hem, the best the Gemara could do was Chalelav Shabbos Akas G'day Shiyishma Shabbos Tzharbe. Violate this Shabbos because you'll be around next Shabbos. Meaning Shabbos is like taking care of itself. So if you're not going to violate this Shabbos, what about next Shabbos? But meaning barring that kind of a svara that you're not going to keep Shabbos in the future, we entertain the possibility that Shabbos could be Yahari Val Yavor. And you wouldn't be able to give up your life in order to keep Shabbos, which we're going to raise in a different discussion, which I don't want to get involved in right now, that it could be that that's why, you know, certain times we have limitations on what we're able to do in Hilchos Shabbos, because sometimes, you know, some, and which is surprising to us, because we don't view Shabbos in that way, but the Gemara at least entertained the possibility that Shabbos could be Yahari Val Yavor. So over here, maybe that's why Shabbos is treated differently when it comes to Sakana Sefer, because there is some residual effect of that drusha in the Gemara, even though it's rejected ultimately. We have a better reason of a chayv and Moshe Yavos Bahem. Maybe again, there is some, you know, some there are echoes, to use a Rabbi Rosenzweig term, there are echoes of that that original reason in the Gemara, and therefore Shabbos is treated more stringently than other Yisurim. Yeah, what do you want to say, Ezra?
How does that fit into Chalal
of
Shabbos Achas?
If the only reason you can violate Shabbos is because you're going to be around next Shabbos, that means inherently, right, Shabbos is really Yahari Val Yavor. The only reason you can violate Shabbos is because I want you to be around next Shabbos. But were not for the consideration that you'd be around next Shabbos, maybe there wouldn't be a head to the people of Chalal Shabbos. At least that's the implication, right? This issue comes to a head, perhaps, with regards to the issue of whether Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos is Hutra or Dechuya. It might stem all the way back to whether or not, you know, which reason is the primary reason that's accepted by the Gemara. If it's because of a Chai Behem, Voloshi Yamas Behem, so that implies that, you know, the value of life takes precedence over that of Shabbos, ultimately, right? Pikuach Nefesh is Docha Shabbos. Shabbos is not Yahari Val Yavor. But Pikuach Nefesh would be one of Dechuya. We have competing values, and Shabbos takes precedence, or the religious life of Shabbos, right, takes precedence over keeping mitzvos, of being alive, takes precedence over Shabbos. Life takes precedence over Shabbos. Chai ben Boshi Yamas Behem, in that dilemma. However, if it's because Chagel of Shabbos Achas, Kadesh Yishma Shabbos is Harbe, violate this Shabbos in order to be able to be around to keep next Shabbos, maybe then violating this Shabbos is a fulfillment of keeping Shabbos, not of this Shabbos, but of the following Shabbos. Meaning, maybe to be Makal Shabbos and be Kuach Nefesh, according to that original reason of the Gemara, is not because that's a desecration of Shabbos. It itself is a fulfillment of Shabbos. Not this Shabbos, of course, but perhaps Shabbos in the future. The Archaim HaKadosh suggests that that's why the Pasuk says, Achas Shabbos Soisai Tishmeru, you should keep my Shabbos, but Shabbos is in the plural. Why Shabbos in the plural? So some claim it's an allusion to Yushalmi, if all of Klal Yisrael will keep two Shabbosos, right? You know, we'll bring the Geula immediately. However, the Archaim HaKadosh says, no, because there's two Shabboses. There's a Shabbos of Pikuach Nefesh, where the mitzvahs of Shabbos demand that we be Mechal Shabbos and Pikuach Nefesh, and then there's a Shabbos without Pikuach Nefesh, right? You know, the regular Shabbos with the Doha Torah calls. Or something, and we don't have to be Mechal Shabbos that Shabbos. So there's two Shabboses, but both are a fulfillment of Shabbos, either to not be Mechal Shabbos or to be Mechal Shabbos as called upon. So perhaps there are these two types of Shabbos, in which case Pikuach Nefesh and Shabbos is not the Chuya. It's not like we have competing values and we have to choose one over the other, but rather the two coexist. Shabbos doesn't exist when it comes to Pikuach Nefesh because that itself is a fulfillment of Shabbos. You know, the Shemir Shabbos Kol Chazak quotes from Shom Azam, and let's say a person thought he was confronted with a situation, Pikuach Nefesh and Shabbos, we have this all the time. Certainly Hatzalah members have it all the time. And they're called to a scene, and then they're like, come on, man, this is not Pikuach Nefesh. The guy thinks he's having a heart attack, they get there, and it's just because he had, you know, a burrito the day before. He's having a guess. Okay, so did he do wrong? Does he have to clap al chait? You know, what's the tshuva process over here? So Shmir Shabbos Kochat, we rarely get questions like that. You know, how do I do tshuva for Ramaisha? It's tshuva. It's in the Gros Maisha. How do I do tshuva for this kind of avera? He's a rabbi. I have never gotten that. How do I do tshuva for this? But the Shmir Shabbos Kochat, quotes from Shlomo Zalman, you don't have to feel bad, and it's important to teach Hatzalah members all the time. You don't have to feel bad if you get called to a call and there was a false alarm. Because that is part of it. That's not a violation of Shabbos. It's a kiyum of Shabbos, is to be vigilant about Pikuach Nefesh in order that we should be around in the future, to keep Shabbos in the future, all based on the Orchaim HaKadosh. Perhaps it's in that context that the Shulchan Aruch says in Shin Chav Chesiv Beis, which Rabbi Neuberger began with, that HaShoyah B'mokam Pikuach Nefesh HaRezeh Shoyfech Domim. Usually the rule is, once I get to your question in a second, usually the rule is, when encountering a shaila in halacha that you don't know the answer, ask first, do second. Rarely, I don't know if there is another exception, but at least when it comes to Pikuach Nefesh and Shabbos, the Shulchan Aruch says no. Act first, and then ask second. First, do. Don't start asking around. Yeah. What do you want to say?
So, So the Challel L'Lov Shabbos, the reason of Challel L'Lov Shabbos Arch was sort of a hint toward that Shabbos should be Hutrop.
That Shabbos should be Hutrop, meaning violate this Shabbos for Pikuach Nefesh, so you should be around next Shabbos. We could take that so far as to begin to suggest that maybe then violating Shabbos now...
That does not really suggest that Chuya is not operable here.
Maybe it means it's Hutra, meaning because my violating Shabbos this Shabbos is tantamount to keeping Shabbos, is allowing me to keep Shabbos next Shabbos. So is it really violating Shabbos then? Or maybe it's preparing me or enabling me to keep Shabbos in the future. So in which case, violating Shabbos itself could be a fulfillment of Shabbos, right? It's counterintuitive, and that could be what emerges. So that's what Shulchan Aruch says in this setting, that a person who actually stops to ask a question, Hashav Amalkam Pikuach Nefesh, is Harez Hashav Fikhtame. He's considered to be a murderer. Mishnah Berurah quotes the name of Yerushalmi, Shavi Nubaker made a little bit of a big deal about, that it doesn't say Hashav Amalkam Pikuach Nefesh, is another gear in Yerushalmi, that it's Hanishal Amalkam Pikuach Nefesh, a person who's asked the Shail in a situation Pikuach Nefesh, is Harez Hashav Fikhtame, because it's an obligation of the Rav. Of course, we always throw the Rav under the bus, right? But it's the Rav's job, it's your fault. You didn't give enough shiurim on pikuach nefesh. Rabbi Shechter once told me, he said we should rearrange the fourth year halacha l'maisa to start with pikuach nefesh. It's really not right that we start with other things. We finally get to pikuach nefesh now. We should have started with it because that's the one halacha. If you don't know it, you don't teach it, you're in big trouble. Hanisha b'makom pikuach nefesh is in trouble. Anyway, so therefore, we should encourage people to ask first and do second, but not ridiculous. You know, you shouldn't be more machmir than you are during the week. If we wouldn't run to the hospital during the week, I don't think there's a reason to run on Shabbos either, right? We all have seichel, we all have experience, so that combination of two, that goes about, comes about with the age and living life, and we all know how to treat different emergencies in our life that arise, so we should apply that same seichel and combination of experience that we would during the week, to Shabbos too. So we shouldn't be more than during the week, but it should certainly not be less than it is during the week. So this issue, which reason we accept in the Gemara, which might perhaps be the underpinning of whether Pikuach Nefesh HaShabbos is Hutro de Chuyo, really, though, is most apparent in the Shulchan Aruch and Shin Chav Ches Sif Yud Beis. But the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Gemara Masechtas Yuma, that when a person is confronted with a situation, Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos, Mechal on Shabbos, even Al Yedei Yisraelim Gedolim, even with the assistance of adults. Meaning we don't go looking for a katan, even if it's adult, you would allow it to be Mechalo Shabbos for Pikuach Nefesh. The Tosfos and the Ran, I will get to the guy in a second. Tosfos and the Ran say, why should you use Dafka Gedolim? Why should you look specifically for adults? In order to dispel the mistaken notion that people have, that this is kind of like dirty work, and I don't want to be the one to do it myself, so let's find someone else who will be Mechalo Shabbos. Chas v'shalom, now I should get my hands dirty being Mechalo Shabbos myself. In fact, the Rambam, and the Parashah Mishnayos, the Mishnah Berurah quotes it, in Sifkan Lamed Aleph, says we should look not for Yisraelim Gedolim, but Gedolei Yisrael. It should be the Rav. If someone has to call Hatzalah, I've done it, you have to call Hatzalah. I'm not sure we have too many Hatzalah members as it is, right? Okay. But we have that kind of crowd. But if you have, if you have to call Hatzalah, so it should be the Rav, who is the one who gets his hands dirty, in order to make a lesson out of it, to show people that this is a real issue, and that you have to be Mechal Shabbos for Pikuach Nefesh. We had it once in the Beis Medrash, when before this building was built, we were davening in the old Beis Medrash. I used to daven at 7:40 in the morning, Rav Shechter, and the Gabbai, in the middle of davening, middle of Shmon Esrei, passed out. Mamash killed over the whole, in the middle of Shmon Esrei, fell over in his tender. And everyone, the Bachrim, were looking around at each other like, what should we do? Shechter, I don't know where he was. In the middle of his kavanis. But the people who saw what happened, no one moved. Everyone's like, People were like, hello, this guy just passed out. You can interrupt this one. That's right. So this is a real concern. It's a real concern. People don't recognize the urgency sometimes of Pikuach Nefesh and how we have to act. So much so, right? I've been at doctors' houses for meals on Shabbos, and a guy will walk over with what is clearly a issue that needs to be tended to. I don't know if the life's in danger right now, but there's a guy with an abscess this size in his mouth, which is clearly a risk of infection, or kids with broken things and ripped and wounds that clearly need to be attended to, and they walk over to the doctor who lives locally. To the Jewish guy, you handle it. So the guy said, why? I was once at a dentist. He's like, this abscess needs to be drained. Why should I do it? Why should I do it any more than you do it? You don't want to call a taxi or go to the hospital. So you want me to be Mechal Shabbos and drain the absence. And people are so afraid to get their hands dirty with pikuach nefesh that we'll look for any excuse that we can, even to go to another Jew. Hatzolah guys are just as Jewish as everybody else. So it's not like we can't. If you don't need to call them, a person should. We shouldn't be afraid to be mechallel Shabbos for pikuach nefesh. And I think that instinctive. Response exists today, and it's something we need to work on dispelling. That people should be comfortable being mechallel Shabbos for pikuach nefesh. At the same time, that's the concern of the Shulchan Aruch. The Rama quotes in the Shulchan Giparim says, really, you only be mechallel Shabbos for adults if there's no one else present. If you can be mechallel Shabbos with a nachri, better to do it on a day nachri or with a shinoi. Anytime you can lower the level of iser that you're dealing with. Always better to lower the level of the Iser. What's known as Hakal Tchila, the Gemara has Masechta Yuma. We always violate the lesser Iser if possible. The Rama wasn't really so concerned with the mistaken impression, but of course that is a real issue. So if that is a big issue, something needs to be taught. But in an absence, right, in the absence of that, when a person is there is no bigger audience that you're teaching any kind of, it's not a teachable moment, right? So then it's better to be mamait b'isurim, at least for Ashkenazim, because we would say hakala kaltchila, a person should try and be mamait as much as possible. When you're being mamait b'isurim, so Rav Yaakov Emden writes in the Moruk Tzi over here, Shin Chof Chesiv Kon Chof Hei, that a Nachri is better than Shinoi. Meaning it's better to get a Nachri. A Katan is a whole complicated issue. I would never involve Katanim in these kinds of things. Just leave the children alone. Either a Nachri or either a Shinoi, but when you're doing things, in terms of what's preferable, so a Nachri is preferable to a Shinoi. Both, Rav Zalman Nechemia Goldberg has an article in the journal called Halacha Rufuah where he argues all of these things are better than a Katan. So never involve the Katan, but a Nachri is always better than doing things with Shinoi. The Bir Halacha goes so far as to say in Simen Reish Ayin Ches, according to the Ramah, if you're not Mimait Bisurim, you don't minimize the Issa that you're violating, you're actually Chayv Chatas. You violated Shabbos Deiraisa, you have to minimize the number of Yisurim that you're violating. However, Rav Shlomo Zalman has it in the Mincha Shlomo, as well as Rav Chanan has it in the Kaveh Shirin. Bir Halacha, Simen Reish Ayin Ches, quotes like that. From one of the Rishayim, I forgot who. The Mincha Shlomo, though, he quotes that Bir Halacha too. The Rav Shlomo Zalman quotes the Bir Halacha in the Mincha Shlomo, and Rav Chanan has the same thing in the Kaveh Shirin, Masechtas Ksubis. I don't know why it's there, I forgot why it's there, but it's there. So they both say the same thing, that the only time we say a kal kal tchila, you have to minimize the amount of Yisurim that you're violating is all things being equal. But if all things are not equal, Rabbi Neuberger quoted this, right? You're going to have to wake somebody up in the middle of the night in order to, he has hot water in his house and I need hot water in my house for the chayla. I don't have any hot water, but he does, but he's in the middle of sleeping. I have no right to awaken him in the middle of his sleep in order to, to take some of his hot water that he has prepared already, because even though that would be preferable to then cooking hot water in my house, but now I'm going to, all things are not equal. I'm going to have to awaken him in the middle of the night. I have no right to do that. We only say, all things being equal. That's why, in the Sefer Torah HaYovedes, that's Rabbi Zilberstein, who is Rabbi Yashiv son-in-law, he should live and be well. So he has in his Sefer Torah HaYovedes, in the name of the Shver, and as well as in the name of Ramosha Sternbach, that if you have a woman who's pregnant, but she's delivering in a certain hospital, so does she have to go and stay in the hospital? Let's say she's in her ninth month. Does she have to take a hotel room near the hospital? Because she shouldn't have to take a taxi there on Shabbos, lest she go into labor on Shabbos. So Mishnah Berurah says in Shin Lamed Sivka and Aleph, the Mishnah Berurah quotes the name of the Sefer Chassidim, that they wouldn't be Mishamesh Mitoisehem. They wouldn't be together with their wives on Shabbos, lest they would deliver 9 months from that day of the Tashmish Shamita, which would be a full-term baby after it's conceived, and it'll turn out that the Leda will be on Shabbos. So already 9 months in advance, they were planning to avoid Chilul Shabbos. So the Mishnah Berurah says, you see, therefore, you have to minimize as much as possible. Get the bag ready, go stay in the hotel room. And there are some who say like that. However, in the Sefer Torah Sefer Letters, he quotes from Rabbi Yashiv and Moshe Sternbach that you do not have to do that. That was a midus chasidus of the chasidim harishonim, the Gemara says in Masechtas Nida, that they wouldn't be mishamash mitos same b'shabbos.
So who holds that
you have to... Mishaburah quotes like that from the Sefer Chasidim. But these person are disagreeing with that because it's not all things being equal. And to go spend Shabbos in a hotel room, even if, the in-laws, let's say, live closer to the hospital, to go spend Shabbos with the in-laws, okay, it's not all things being equal. It's not the same as being in your own bed, in your own house. So they all say that you don't have to go to those lengths to be mamayat b'chilul Shabbos because it's not all things being equal. Or, let's say a woman, he does add though, Ramosha Sternberg says, let's say a woman's already in active labor. Just the doctor says, you know, your contractions aren't close enough. So you're going to have to wait at home for 2 hours. So then already, then it says in Sefer Torah, Yolesa Yoledes, you know you're going to go into labor on Shabbos, right? It's just, so then you should really go to the hospital before Shabbos and you'll wait in the waiting room until the woman's in labor, you know, but to wait, or they'll give you a room probably, but to wait at home and then Dafka going on, you know, that's already a little bit too much. She knows she's in active labor, then that's wrong. Even though Beikar Dini probably could wait in that scenario as well. That's why Roshom Zalman disagreed with Ramesha. Ramesha said, if a doctor knows he has to be on call on Shabbos in the morning in the hospital, so he's going to be permitted to go there in the morning because of Pikuach Nefesh. His patients are, says Sakonis Nefesh, so he has to go in the morning to take care of his patients. So should he already sleep over there Friday night, or can he go home Friday night, you know, Friday before Shabbos, have his Friday night suda at home, and then he'll go in the morning in a taxi or something like that? So can he do that, or does he have to stay overnight in the hospital? So Ramesha said, if you know you have to be there in the morning, you have, what right do you have to come home? How was your chicken soup and your lichadoi the ineshes chayol doicha Shabbos? What right do you have to do that? And you have to minimize the amount of isurim you're violating as much as possible. You have to stay over there throughout Friday night. And Shlomo Zalman disagreed. He's quoting the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa, because he says it's not all things being equal. You have to minimize the number of isurim that you're violating, but that's all things being equal. It's not all things, both options here are not equal. You know, I could get an Uber, I could take a taxi, or I could call Hatzawa. So what are you calling Hatzawa that a Jew? Call a taxi that's a non-Jew, be my might be served. Here's not all things being equal. All things are equal, though. Here's not all things equal. I'm going to lose out on sleeping over a night in the hospital. That's not Kishmak, so it's not all things being equal. And therefore, we could be lenient in that situation. However, this issue seems to revolve around whether or not you have to be Mamayit Bisurim. That was the opinion of the Ramah or the Shulchan Aruch, who held you did not have to be Mamayit Bisurim. In fact, it was better to do Aydei Gedoy Yisrael to be Mechal Shabbos. Seemed to be arguing about, whether or not Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos is Hutra or Dechuya. Is it that we have competing values and we have to choose one over the other, and we choose life over Shabbos? In which case, one should really minimize the conflict as much as possible and minimize the Isurim that you're using. Or is Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos Hutra, meaning Shabbos was never given when it comes to, with regards to the issues of Pikuach Nefesh, and therefore it doesn't matter who's violating Shabbos or how we're doing it, since we're in a situation of Pikuach Nefesh, you don't have to minimize. That's what they seem to be arguing about. The Emek Bracha, Aryeh Pomeranchik,
holds that Shabbos is
Hutra. No, Shabbos is Ashkenazim passing, clearly Shabbos is Dechuya. Dechuya means I have to minimize.
Right.
Minimizing is only if the minimization won't cause me extra duress than not minimizing.
That's
what Shlomo Zalman's Kaddish. The only time you have to minimize is when there's an extra cost involved. Then I don't have to endure that cost, be it inconvenience, be it, you know, waking somebody up, be it, you know, staying overnight, whatever it is. I don't mean a monetary cost. You know, there is a human cost involved. Then I don't have to, you don't have to endure that cost. It means all things being equal, why not be Mamayit Bisurim? Ari Pomeranchik in the Sefer Emek Bracha, that's the Talmud of the Brisker Rav, argues that maybe even the Shulchan Aruch agrees that Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos is not Hutra, it's only Dechuya, it's competing values, but we have to choose Chayim over Shabbos. Why does he hold that you have to be Mechal Shabbos Ayde Yisraelim Gedolim and not be Mamayit? It's because he's afraid of every moment is a teachable moment, whether or not we recognize it or not. And he's afraid that the impression will give off that be Mechal Shabbos Pikuach Nefesh is somehow be the Yevid. If you're going to call an Achri instead of calling Atzala or a Jew driving, you know, then people are going to get, they're going to get the wrong impression. So maybe it's just a matter of how sensitive are we to the impression that we're giving off, and not a fundamental issue about whether Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos is Hutra or Dechuya. But perhaps you see somewhere else in the Shulchan Aruch that he seems to hold Hutra. Shulchan Aruch and Shin Chav Ches Sif Yudal discusses, if you have a Chayla who needs meat on Shabbos, and we don't have any kosher meat available, so you have two options. You could either shecht an animal, right, for the Chayla, or we could feed him treif meat. Should we feed him treif meat, or should we shecht an animal for him and it'll be kosher meat? Obviously, it's not Lamai, so we don't do this, but, right, which, we could do it. We rarely have a Chayla who needs to eat meat. But okay. So he usually is a chayla because he had too much meat. So the chayla needs meat. So should we shecht a kosher animal or should we feed him treif meat? That's the debate that the Rishonim have. So the Shulchan Aruch paskins that you shecht for him on Shabbos and you don't give him the treif meat. Why not? So he quotes Marash in the name of the Rama Rami Rutenberg, that is because when it comes to nevela, pikuach nefesh is dechuya. Yeah, you can violate Nevela for Pikuach Nefesh. But Shabbos, when it comes to Pikuach Nefesh, Shabbos is Hutra. And it makes sense, right? Because you can't have Shabbos HaKadosh Baruch Hu could never have given Shabbos in the first place, thinking that we were never going to have to violate Shabbos with Pikuach Nefesh. There's always going to be situations of Pikuach Nefesh and Shabbos, almost every Shabbos, right? Hatzolah gets called. It's almost impossible to have Shabbos without Pikuach Nefesh. It's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Shabbos, it was clearly a carve-out or a possibility for an exemption, right, for Pikuach Nefesh. Nevela, Lav Dafka, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Nevela, Lav Dafka, that there was a carve-out for Pikuach Nefesh. Rarely do you have a Pikuach Nefesh. You have to violate the Isur Nevela. So Isur Nevela's competing values were, of course, Pikuach Nefesh will prevail, but there's a conflict there. When it comes to Shabbos, so maybe Shabbos and Pikuach Nefesh is Hutra, so that's why the Shulchan Aruch holds it's preferable to do Pikuach to violate Shabbos to Shechlian, well, rather than feeding him Nevelu meat, even though Nevelu meat is a lesser Iser, it's only a Lav, and Shabbos is an Iser Skila, Shabbos is Hutra, vis-a-vis, as opposed to Nevela, which is the Chuya, B'makom Pikuach Nefesh.
But the reason given is that every
Kazakh. Oh, so you can get out of this. So the Mishnah Berurah, very good. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Magen Avraham and the Taz. Someone's learning Mishnah Berurah, very good. Mishnah Berurah quotes the Magen Avraham and the Taz. That they say, no, that's not the reason why we prefer Shabbos over the Nevela meat. It's because the Nevela meat, every Kazayas that you eat is another Iser. So the many little Isurim might be worse than one big Iser. Meaning one little infraction, but if you do it a thousand times, is worse than one big infraction. You'll say, I'm sorry, and move on. One little infraction, you keep doing again and again and again, all of a sudden starts to compile.
This is a
global issue. Yeah. So if Yosef Engel has in the Lekach Toiv, has the Shiloh, which is better? Which is worse? Many little Isurim? Of course, there's no such thing as a little Isur, but many minor Isurim or one major Isur, and perhaps that's what's playing out over here. There are major nafkaminas, whether we presume Pikuach Nefesh and Shabbos is the Hutra or the Chuya. The first is, can you put yourself in such a situation in the first place? Not only do you have to minimize the number of Isurim that you're doing, we clearly passing that you do, but can you put yourself in a situation Pikuach Nefesh in the first place? Because the Mishnah says in Masech the Shabbos that they used to wash the baby in hot water after a bris milah to serve as an antiseptic. We don't do this anymore. We have better antiseptics, bacitracin and other things. But that was the practice in the times of the Gemara. What if prior to the bris milah, the water for after the bris milah spilled? Can we do the bris milah and say, oh, after the bris milah, we have a pikuach nefesh, we have to heat up water to wash the baby? Okay, should we push off the bris milah since we don't have hot water prepared? And we can't put ourselves in a situation of pikuach nefesh, knowing meirosh, that we're going to have to violate Shabbos to save a life. Meaning, can we put ourselves in this situation, do bris milah, knowing in advance that we're going to have to heat up water afterwards? So that was the machlokes in the Baal HaMor and the Ramban. The Baal HaMor said you have to push off the bris. You can't put yourself in that situation. You can't put yourself in that situation. No, you're going to have to violate Shabbos. The Ramban disagreed and he said, you can. Ein l'mitzvah l'makayim v'shaita. You do the mitzvah, you'll worry about the future in the future. Even though after that you're going to have to be Mechal Shabbos Bikuach Nefesh, which implies that Bikuach Nefesh on Shabbos is Hutra. The Chazon Ish, in the Sefer Per Hador, Rebbe Shechter quotes this in the Big Ve'atzon, had a different pshat than this Baal HaMor. Lav Davka that he holds Bikuach Nefesh on Shabbos is Dechuya, but there's a difference, which is a very hard distinction to apply, that there's a difference between being Doicha Shabbos and being Mavatel Shabbos. See, if I put myself in that kind of a situation, that's not just being Doicha Shabbos. That's acting as if it's not even Shabbos. Like, that's like being Mavatel Shabbos. Like erasing Shabbos from the Taryag Mitzvahs, which is like, that is Yaharig Val Yavar. So maybe the Baal HaMor held, knowing Meirosh, meaning going into a situation, that's like, you must Nelakor Sa Shabbos. That's like you're going in, not having a mind to be Mechal Shabbos, but being Mavatel Shabbos. The Chazon Ish was discussing a situation that during the war, they were trying to save as many people as possible, and they were chartering planes to save them. So they once came and asked him, can we charter a plane, even though the only time that the plane is available is Shabbos? So the Chazon Ish said, yes, because Nefesh is Doicha Shabbos, you could charter a plane to save people during the war. Then they came back to him the next week. They said, again, the only time we could get the plane available is Shabbos. Chazon Ish said, this time, no. He said, well, last week you said yes. Why is it this week, no? So Chazon Ish said, once is Dechia Shabbos. Two times is Bittel Shabbos. There's no more Shabbos anymore. So if we're going to do this, and that way there's never going to be Shabbos, so then that's not the Chia Shabbos. That's that's being Oikar Shabbos. That's why the Chazon Ish argued against those who said, well, we have to work on Shabbos, because if we're not going to work on Shabbos, we're not going to have anything to eat during the week. They were really afraid. People were afraid if they didn't want to go to work on Shabbos, it would be Pikuach Nefesh. What, were they going to starve in the streets? Which, who are we to say, Chas v'Shalom, to judge them? We weren't in that situation. But the Chazon Ish argues that's not on fundamental grounds. That's not even whether we could disagree in terms of the whether that was actually true or not. The Chazon Ish says, either way, that's That's not Dechia Shabbos. That's Bittel Shabbos. That means Shabbos is gone. You erase Shabbos from the Tariq Mitzvahs from Judaism. That's not Mutter. That's Yaharik Valyava. So that's a difficult concept to apply, but that's how he understood this Balamar, that putting yourself, doing the Bris Milah, knowing you have to heat up water afterwards is not Dechia Shabbos anymore. That's Himasna Lakorsa Shabbos. I would have said the Balamar holds because Nevesh and Shabbos is Dechia, and that's why he holds you can't put yourself in that kind of a situation in the first place. And you see this elsewhere in the Balamar. Because the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Yotes, that you're not allowed to go on a boat trip 3 days prior to Shabbos. Why not allowed to go on a boat trip 3 days prior to Shabbos? And the Balamar, there's many explanations in Rishonim why this is so. The Balamar explains that it's because boat travel was dangerous in those days. And you knew if you left on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you were going to have to be Mechal Shabbos, be Kuach Nefesh. You knew that on Shabbos you're going to be in a life-threatening situation. So how could you put yourself in that situation? May Rosh, knowing you're going to have to be Mechal Shabbos. Ah, but when it comes Shabbos and it's still Shabbos, for Kuach Nefesh, isn't that permitted? So the Baal Mor says you should really avoid that situation. Milchatila, because he holds Kuach Nefesh on Shabbos, is the Chuya. However, that's why the Shmir Shabbos Kachosah says, by the way, if you have an elective surgery, many times it never works out because the doctors don't open up their schedule to you and say, oh, when would you like your surgery? They tell you, we have this date and either you take it or leave it. But the Shmir Shabbos Kochaz, it says, ideally speaking, if one is having entirely elective surgery, so then you should really schedule Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, not on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, because on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, if you do that, it's like putting yourself in a situation where you know you're going to have to be Mechal Shabbos, Bikoch Nefesh, the third day after the surgery is the hardest. And you know that, therefore, you really should not put yourself in that kind of situation in the first place. However, the Baal Amor disagrees with himself. He seems to contradict himself. Why? Because that Gemara Masechta Shabbos says, if it's B'moko Mitzvah, then you could leave on a boat trip 3 days prior to Shabbos. Because then, I'm not putting myself in that situation of Chil Shabbos willy-nilly. I'm doing a L'tzarech Mitzvah. Oh! So I'm doing a L'tzarech Mitzvah. It's permitted to put yourself in a situation of Bikuach Nefesh, even though you're leaving on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So to do a B'moko Mitzvah is permitted. The problem is, the Baal Amor said you can't perform a Bris Milah on Shabbos knowing afterwards you're going to have to heat up water to save the life of the baby because you're putting yourself in a situation because Nefesh, Milah Chavkiru. Yeah, but that's B'moko Mitzvah. That's for the purpose of Bris Milah. So how can it be if I'm going on a boat trip to Eretz Israel, I can leave on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I'm going on a Tzedakah trip or some Tzarech Mitzvah, it's permitted. Even though I know, May Rosh, I'm going to have to violate Shabbos, come Shabbos. How is that different than doing a Bris Milah where I know I'm going to have to heat up water after in order to serve as the antiseptic? This is a steer in the Baal Amor. The Rav addressed this steer in a famous letter to Dr. Belkin about whether or not we can place Rabbonim in the army, as chaplains in the army, knowing that they might have to violate Shabbos under certain circumstances of Pikuach Nefesh. How can we place them there, knowing Meirosh, that we're putting them in a situation where they're going to have to be Mechal Shabbos? So he quoted this steer in the Baal Amor, that the Baal Amor says you can't perform a Bris Milah on Shabbos, knowing that you're going to have to eat a border after, but you can take a boat trip 3 days before Shabbos, knowing that, if it's B'moko Mitzvah, knowing that you might have to heat up water on Shabbos. So the Rav had one distinction, the Magen Avraham, the Mishnah Berurah, the Aruch HaShulchan, all distinguished, though, between in one way, and then the other parts can distinguish in a different way. Their distinction is between whether a person certainly will have to violate Shabbos or only might have to violate Shabbos. See, by the Bris Milah, you will certainly have to violate Shabbos. That's Keilu Masna, Lakarsa Shabbos. You can't do that. You're putting yourself in a situation you will undoubtedly have to violate Shabbos in order to heat up water. Here, going on a boat trip was a suffix. Maybe yes, maybe no, so it's mutter, but makoy mitzvah. That was one distinction. Aruch HaShabbos, and that was of Soloveitchik's distinction also, in his letter to Dr. Belkin, the Aruch HaShabbos has a different distinction, based on the earlier poskim. There's a difference between on Shabbos versus before Shabbos. See, on Shabbos, you can never, do a Bris Milah, knowing I'm going to have to heat up water after Shabbos. Because then I'm putting myself in that situation on Shabbos. How can you put yourself in a situation you have to be Mechal Shabbos, B'Kuach Nefesh, on Shabbos, even if it's B'Moko Mitzvah? Wednesday, Thursday, Friday is before Shabbos. So then I'm doing things that are entirely permissible. To do that in those, before Shabbos has actually arrived, so then it's permitted to put yourself in that kind of situation. That's why if Soloveitchik was makeled for them to place chaplains in the army before Shabbos, way before the Pikuach Nefesh situation arrived, that would be permitted. Either way, the Baal Amor clearly holds, in the absence of B'moko Mitzvah, you shouldn't put yourself in this kind of situation. Where you're going to have to violate Shabbos and Pikuach Nefesh. You should avoid it. So that clearly implies that Pikuach Nefesh and Shabbos is Dechuya, which really supports Right? The Ramah, and the way Ashkenazim paskin, that we always try and minimize the number of Isurim we're doing, always being mindful of the impression that we're making in the teachable moments, that people shouldn't be hesitant to violate Shabbos, Mokum, Kuach, Nefesh. But, you know, keeping that always in mind, we have to try and minimize the number of Isurim as much as possible. You shouldn't put yourself in these kinds of situations. That's why Shecht has argued that, you know, how is a person allowed to even be a doctor? How do you have to be a doctor when you know you're going to have to violate Shabbos for Pikuach Nefesh? Shouldn't you really avoid these situations? So what you have to say really is that, and you can't say it's a mitzvah for me to be a doctor, because that's where Moshe argues in Igros Moshe, there's no mitzvah to learn medicine. If that would be the case, every Jew would have to learn medicine and become doctors.
Every Kohen would be
allowed to go to medical school. Where Moshe argues in his Tshuva to Kohanim going to medical school, there's no mitzvah to learn medicine, become a doctor. If you know medicine, there's a mitzvah to heal people. But Ramesha makes the striking comparison that there's no mitzvah to become wealthy in order to give tzedakah. But there is a mitzvah, if you have money, to give it to tzedakah. So to hear, there's no mitzvah to learn medicine. So it's not like this is b'mako mitzvah, like the balamor, you know, this is b'mako. There's no mitzvah to learn medicine. So how am I ever allowed to learn medicine, knowing my Rosh, I'm putting myself in that situation where I'm going to have to heal people on Shabbos. So Shechter argued that what you'll have to say is, I'm really learning medicine to heal people during the week. Once I learn medicine to heal people during the week, now I'm in a position to heal people on Shabbos. Okay, now I have a mitzvah to heal people on Shabbos. Therefore, Shechter's argued, they really can't violate Shabbos in the course of learning medicine. It's if I've learned medicine, now I'm in a situation to heal people on Shabbos. That's good. That's fine. But you can't be Machal Shabbos in the course of learning medicine. That's not really enough of a reason to be Machal Shabbos. That's really should be avoided. Rav Shecht always says, he once gave this shir in Einstein, but he always says that, you know, if they would ask me to, you know, yeshiva would ask me to be Machal Shabbos for my job here in yeshiva, I would have to say no. He says, why a doctor is any different than anybody who has a temptation to work on Shabbos? And it's very nice to work on Shabbos. Doctors, you know, I say it's easy to work on, everyone has that kind of pressure to work on Shabbos. Why are doctors allowed to give in? So the answer is, if you already know medicine, you're allowed to violate Shabbos. You have a mitzvah to violate Shabbos. There's no heter to violate Shabbos in the course of learning medicine, unless you're actively saving lives, right? You know enough already. You've learned enough in medical school to start saving lives, then fine. But, otherwise, really not. And that's why you have to be discerning. For those who don't get Shabbos residencies, really have to be discerning. Rabbi Tendler, quote in the name of Rav Moshe, it's kind of a Mipia Shmula type thing. I've heard the same thing from David, you know, in the name of Rav David Cohn, from Flatbush, in the name of Rav Gusman. Of course, everyone knows who Rav Gusman is. Said on the base of Chaim Moiser, that no, we have a mandate to have Jewish doctors. So it's kind of a mitzvah now to learn medicine, almost a pikuach nefesh already, because otherwise it'll be dangerous for the Jewish people not to have doctors. Li'olam, I had a hard time understanding that. I don't know why we need Jewish nephrologists and Jewish rheumatologists and Jewish, you know, okay, orthopedic surgeons. I don't know, why do we need Jewish doctors in all of these specific fields? We're going to already call that a mandate to allow people to learn medicine and violate Shabbos in the course of non-Shomer Shabbos residencies in order to learn medicine, because we kind of need these kinds of Jewish doctors. However, more recently, in discussions with Rav Asher Weiss, who's thinking about bigger issues in Eretz Yisrael and how could a medina run al pi halacha, so he made the argument. You know, if we're going to wait to be confronted, let's say Rav Asher Weiss made the point. He said, well, if we're not going to dispatch, let's say we'd have a firm police force on Shabbos, we wouldn't dispatch a police force to unless pikuach nefesh arrived, we'd have to wait for pikuach nefesh to come and then dispatch every car. He said, well, people will die all over the country. So he said, obviously, when we're running a Jewish society, maybe in Eretz Yisrael, it's a little bit more it's a little bit more plausible. In Eretz Yisrael, we're going to have a society which can self-sustain itself, where we won't have, we'll be able to think about Pikuach Nefesh even before it's arrived. Meaning in America, we always follow the Behuda, the Sam Sefer. We don't allow Pikuach Nefesh unless we're confronted with the Chola, in front of us, the Chola Bifaneinu. And I don't think about, what's going to be in 10 or 20 years or 50 years or, how can I be Machal Shabbos now for a Chola that doesn't yet exist, is not presented before me. But if we're going to take that attitude, when we're running an entire Jewish society, so then we're not going to dispatch police and we're not going to dispatch emergency vehicles, until such an emergency arises, people's lives will certainly be jeopardized because of that. So we have to be a little bit more proactive if we're gonna have a halachic Jewish medina. So in terms of that line of thinking, I think it makes a little bit more sense. I don't know if we need Jewish doctors, more Jewish doctors in NYU, more Jewish doctors at Columbia Presbyterian, but I think in Eretz Yisrael, if we're going to have a medina that's run off halacha, then that's something to begin to think about. Nonetheless, Rav Moshe says, In order to avoid these situations, a doctor shouldn't have his number listed in the phone book and all these kinds of things. He should avoid his patients on Shabbos. However, that's not really the practice. The Pesachei Tshuva and Hilchos Avelos and Simon Shin Ayin says, Lo mikol adam zoichel lisrapos. People have their doctor who knows their medical history, who they're used to dealing with him, and they're not going to be able to be treated by someone who's not their doctor. So doctors should attend to their patients on Shabbos, not only because it's not, you know, it's good business, but that wouldn't factor into Chil Shabbos. But it's people need their doctor, and it could be dangerous sometimes to start taking medical histories and not knowing the ins and outs of this patient. So it's better for a person to reach out to their doctor, even though pikuach nefesh should be avoided, or you shouldn't have your number, you shouldn't be on call, right? You should avoid being on call on Shabbos if possible. You shouldn't avoid your patient. And since it's preferable, of course, not to be on call on Shabbos, pikuach nefesh is dechuyo, you know, pass it off to somebody else. So there's always a temptation, right, to the desire to, if you get a shift on Shabbos, to switch that shift with someone else. Rav Moshe held that that's permitted. You're allowed to switch your shift even with another Jewish person who happens to not be religious or doesn't care about being Mechal Shabbos for people, you know, is not looking to avoid this shift. It'd be permitted. Why? Because isn't it giving bad advice? It's Lifnei Iver, the Eitzaroh, I'm giving you bad advice. No, I'm not. Instead of going to the golf course and driving to the diner to eat, you know, your breakfast on Shabbos morning, you would have to go to the hospital for Pikuach Nefesh. I did you a favor. So Shlomo Zalman, the Michal Shlomo, disagrees with Rav Moshe. And he says, no, Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos, well, I don't realize that I'm doing it because of Pikuach Nefesh. You're still violating Shabbos. It's like a person, he compares it to the Sifrei in Parshas Noso, that Niskaven Lecho B'sar Chazir, but also B'yod B'sar Tle, a person has a mind to eat pork. Instead of eating pork, by accident, he eats kosher meat. He stumbles upon it. So the Gemara, the Medrash says he requires kapara. You tried to do an Avera, you didn't. Because you stumbled upon a mitzvah, you still require atonement. So Soto says to Shlomo Zalman, this guy didn't think he was coming to the hospital because of the mitzvah of a chai behem v'ol shiyamas behem. He's doing it because it's his business. So yeah, he is saving lives, and therefore he hasn't violated Shabbos, but he kind of stumbled across it and he wanted to do an Iser, just like going to the golf course. Instead of going to the golf course, he went today to the hospital. So if you switch shifts with him, you're really not doing him any favors, because he's not getting the mitzvah necessarily pikuach nefesh, or let's say he's not avoiding the Iser of Chil Shabbos, because then he thinks he is being Mechal Shabbos. So it's no different than his Kavim Lechol B'sar Chazir, but also be other B'sar Tleh. So Shlomo Zalman says you should avoid switching with a non-Jewish, non-religious doctor, for a Moshe about it. One final issue that seems to be related to whether or not because Nefesh on Shabbos is Dechuyo or Hutra. Again, we said we should minimize the number of Yisurim as much as possible, try and avoid these situations if possible. But of course, is how far can you go in terms of Chil Shabbos and Pikuach Nefesh? The Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Ramban and the Torah says, Adam, that you do whatever during the, on Shabbos, whatever you would do during the week. Kol Masha Regil and Lasas Lebuchol. So that implies even Shar Tarecha, meaning even things that are not Nogea, that don't relate specifically to a life-saving measure, they're kind of what we would call ancillary care. That's also permitted. Whatever we do during the week, you could do on Shabbos too. So the Bir Halacha jumps all over this Ramban. It's quoted by the Magen Mishnah, and the Magen Mishnah infers from the Ramban, even if it's ancillary care, to which the Bir Halacha asks, how can ancillary care be mutter on Shabbos? You know, that's not saving lives. It's not related to the life-saving measures that we're taking. It's ancillary. So therefore, the Bir Halacha resolves you can only be makel for ancillary care when it comes to an Issa Derabbanan. Let's say a person comes into the hospital room and he sees the chayla needs the bed moved, you know, up or down, and it's an electric bed. So you could always call the nurse, right? You could always call the nurse, which would lower the Issa to an Amir or an Achri. The problem is if you call the nurse every time you need the bed moved or you need a light turned off, the nurse is going to lose her patience with you, right? You want her to come when you need the morphine. You want her to come when you need, when you want to ask how come the doctor hasn't been here as much as he should, right? So if you're going to start bothering her to move the bed every time the back aches, you burn out the patience of the nurse. So is it permitted for the chayla themselves to move the bed, or certainly for someone who's standing there sitting with them to move the bed? So the answer is yes. We would treat moving the bed as an issa derabbanan. It's ancillary care. It's probably not going to save their life to adjust the lumbar support on the bed. But it's shar tarachov, it's ancillary care. And even though it would be nice to lower the yisurim as much as possible, but if that's not possible, then someone else could do it for them. The Briskarov quotes in the name of Reb Chaim that he passing like this, Magen Mishnah, even when it comes to yisurim deraiso, even if it's not the primary care of the patient, it's ancillary care, it's all permitted. How could that be? How could that be? But the kash of the Bir Halacha looms large. Isn't this not pikuach nefesh? So Reb Ochanan explains in the Kovetz Ha'oris, as well as a Bavadi and the Echavidas, that this is all because Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos, according to the Magen Mishnah, must be Hutra. So therefore, once the floodgates of Bikurach, you know, once the Yisurim of Shabbos are permitted for this individual, because he's in a life-threatening situation, all Yisurim are on the table, you know, are permitted. Even if it's not Nogea to the Atzim Tzakon, it's not Nogea to the life-saving measure, it's ancillary, it would all be permitted. And they compare it to the Gemara Maseches Menachos, which says that, of course, you're allowed to bring Karbanos to Tmidim and Musafim on Shabbos, but there were certain parts of the Karbanos that had to be burned al Gavim Mizbeach, the Hector Chalom and Vayivarim. But that didn't have to be done on Shabbos. It could have waited till Matzei Shabbos. So can you do that on Shabbos, or do you have to wait till Matzei Shabbos to do it? It's even kosher balayla. Most of all, this have to be done during the day. Hector chalom veivarim can even be done at night. Do I have to wait till Matzei Shabbos to do it? So Gemara says no. Kevin shekvar dochsa shchitas haShabbos. Since you're pushing aside Shabbos for the shchitas hakarbonis, you can push it aside for the hector chalom veivarim too. So too says Rav Avadia. Says Rav Chanan, if you're pushing aside Shabbos for the etzim sakarbonis, you rush to the hospital because of this, you know, the chest pain. So then to move the bed in one direction or the other is like hector chalom veivarim. You could have waited till Matzei Shabbos. It's not really part of the bringing of the carbon, but it's permitted. Kevin Shekvar Dachsa Shkita Esar Shabbos. That's why they say it's permitted. Because Nefesh on Shabbos is Hutra. One could have argued that it has nothing to do with Hutra the Chuya. And this is what the Avnei Nezer argues, and we'll see there's a difference. The Avnei Nezer, which Rav Shechta prefers, says that no, you know why you could be Mechal Shabbos for ancillary care? You never know what might affect the patient. Yes, no one ever dies from a lack of lumbar support. But if the patient is uncomfortable, and he's already novenod, he's already, that's, you know, in a precarious situation, so one thing or the other might tip the scales in the, you know, one direction. And therefore, yeah, the lumbar support might make his mood bad, might change his entire gestalt, and then the patient will be downhill from there.
Is you that see this? Promotion?
No, that's Avnei Nezer. Says that's the Pshat in the Magen Mishnah. He quotes from a Gemara Maseches Yevamos that says that if the baby has an eye ache, we push off the bris milah. We push off the bris milah for an eye ache. Why is an eye ache? It's not a sakonis nefashis. So the Avnei Nezer quotes from the Radvaz, who explains that it's because the Gemara says milah sakonis nefashis. That's what the pasuk means. Ki alecha haragnu kol hayom. We kill ourselves for you every day. Ribono shel olam. What that's referring to is milah, because we risk our lives doing bris milah. So since bris milah is a sakonis nefashis, if there's anything wrong with the baby, right? The baby's a little liago. We push off the bris. Chassidim will take this a little bit too far, but okay, but we push off the bris. Why do we push off the bris for these little things? The answer is because meal itself is dangerous. So if you add anything to that danger, you never know. It can make things much, much worse. So therefore, even though it itself is a minor issue, you never know how that could affect the patient. So Tovir says Avnei Nezer, ancillary care is permitted because you never know how that might affect the patient in the long run. The difference will be between this or whether or not Pikuach Nefesh is ancillary care permitted because it's Pikuach Nefesh is Hutra, or is it because it's you never know if it might affect the patient, will be with regards to an issue about pushing things off till Matzei Shabbos. Let's say a kid presents himself in the hospital and he has a gash that needs to be stitched up, but it could wait till Matzei Shabbos. Do I have to wait till Matzei Shabbos, or could I do it now already on Shabbos? So Rav Avadia quotes from the Truvas Mitzvah Aryeh that you have to wait till, if it's, you know, this should be treated like ancillary care, right? During the week, no one would wait till Matzei Shabbos. So we're only waiting for Shabbos because it's Shabbos. So do we have to do that? Look, the guy would like to get out of the hospital as quick as possible. So it's certainly ancillary care to get him out of here. So it's no worse than Shar Tzarachov. So do we have to wait till Matzei Shabbos? Can we do it already now? So Rav Avadia distinguishes, and he says, well, if you already violated Shabbos for the Bikuach Nefesh, meaning getting him here and cleaning out the wound, then Kvar Dachsa Shchitas Shabbos, I could be, you know, I could do it even on Shabbos, I don't have to wait till Matzei Shabbos. If you haven't violated Shabbos yet, either you walk to the hospital or some other situation where you didn't violate Shabbos yet, so if I clean out the wound, then I can wait till Matzei Shabbos. Wait till Matzei Shabbos. You have no hetter to do it now. Because it's only Shar Tzarachov, and Shar Tzarachov is only permitted if you already pushed aside Shabbos for the real care. Then, once the floodgates are open, the floodgates are open, I can do whatever I want. You know, as long as it relates to the Sakonis. However, according to the Avnei Nezer, you don't have to push aside Shabbos once. Why is it? It's because this guy has a gash. You never know. Maybe sealing it up earlier, you're right. Traditional medicine would tell you, you have to Matzei Shabbos, but I don't want to take that risk. And there's already a Sakona because the guy has a deep gash. So maybe I shouldn't wait till Matzei Shabbos. You never know how that might tip the scales in one direction or the other. So therefore, according to the Avnei Nezer, you would have a heta to do it right away. A heta to do it right away on Shabbos. Let's say you get to the hospital, and only you know the guy who's going to sew it up is a guy. Okay, so either way, you're dealing with an isa midrabbanan. Shar tzarachov is mutter. You know, like getting it done as quickly as possible is showing shar tzarachov. So you don't have to wait. Even if you could, in theory, wait till Matzei Shabbos. If the guy is a doctor is a guy, it's only an isa midrabbanan. Shar tzarachov is mutter.
Well, we already said that By the Rabbanon, Shabbos is Otro. By the Rabbanon, Shabbos is Otro, right?
We said that?
Maybe he mentioned that.
Yeah. However, the Bialacha says when it comes to Yisurim Derabbanan, you can be Meiko for Shad Tzarachav. Here it's Amir Olenach, you can be Meiko for Shad Tzarachav, even if it's just for scar issues. Scar issues is having a scar, you know, is considered to be a Chola She'ein Bo Sakana, right? But it's not life-threatening, but having a scar is certainly an issue of concern, and people might will go to fix it later with plastic surgery. So even if it's just a scar, you could be Meiko with a non-Jewish surgeon. Let's say it's a Jewish surgeon. I guess that the guy's name is, you know, Herbie, Kaufman, you know, something like that. So, come on, the guy's obviously a Jewish guy. So, can he be Mako to stitch up the wound if it could wait till Matzah Shabbos? So, one Paisik told me, he said, it's a good svar. He said, look, Reb Chaim would allow Shad Tzarachav even in Issa Daraisa. So, even if stitching is in Issa Daraisa, he said the non religious doctor in the hospital could be Samech and Reb Chaim. Right? Okay. The Bialach would only allow Issum Darabonon if it's not imminent, right? It's not Nogea to the real. Sakonis, the life-threatening component here. But over here, it is certainly Shad Tzarachav. The guy would like to get out of the hospital as quickly as possible, and the wound needs to be stitched up at some point. So according to Reb Chaim, you'd be allowed to do even in Issa D'oraisa the Yisrael, so the non-religious doctor could be Samech on Reb Chaim. Maybe even the religious doctor could be Samech on Reb Chaim to stitch up the wound, even on Shabbos, and not to wait until Matzah Shabbos. There's some doctors who will love explaining to you how you don't have to stitch up every wound right away, and they start giving the shiurim 4 hours or 12, 24 hours. I don't need to be impressed with doctors' knowledge of how long you can leave wounds that are unstitched. It's Shad Tzarachav. And certainly if it's a non-Jewish surgeon, but even if it's a Jewish surgeon, according to Reb Chaim, I think it would be allowed. Rav Shlomo Zalman is quoted by the Nishmas Avram that if you could, I think Rabbi Neuberger mentioned this, if you could get by with 4 stitches, but really protocol would be 6 stitches, we could permit the 6 stitches, that's like Shad Tzarachav, it's like ancillary care. So once we're violating Shabbos for the primary care of the patient, we could do it for the ancillary care. Rabbi Neuberger said the doctor anyway is going to risk a lawsuit if he doesn't do the proper, that which is recommended, so he's not going to listen to you anyway. But it's mutar al pi halacha anyway, because it's considered to be Shad Tzarachav, or a person chas v'shalom loses a limb. So even though we could wait till Matzei Shabbos, certainly Shad Tzarachav to attach the limb as quickly as possible. And that would all be, since you were Mechal Shabbos for the real Sakhani, be Mechal Shabbos would be Kuach Nefer, for the Shad Tzarachav. Particularly if it's a Nachri, even if it's not a Nachri, if it's a Jew, it could be Samech and Reb Chaim under certain circumstances. What is considered, though, to be Shad Tzarachav? Where do we draw the line over here? Let's say the guy says, I want the newspaper. I got to see the scores. What happened in the game last night? You know, is that Shad Tzarachav? So how far do we take this? So the Shulchan Aruch says in Shin Lamed Sif Aleph that if there's a Yoledes who's giving birth and she says, I need a candle lit, we can light the candle, even though the doctors don't need the candle lit. She wants it in order to calm her down. So even if she's blind, she wouldn't even know if the light's on or not. We have to turn on the light for her in order to calm her down. Yishuv Daita, being consoled itself is considered to be permitted on Shabbos. It's not going to relate to the patient, you know, treating the patient. But in order to be miyashiv the das of the chayla, that would all be permitted. However, it says in the Shulchan Aruch, Shin Vav Siftes, that you're not allowed to call. Let's say they say, I want to see my son 1 minute, one time before. Can you call the son on Shabbos? Or can the guy, the guy says, I want the newspaper. Can we do that? So then it says, no, that you can't do just to calm down the patient. You can't do that just to calm down the patient. How is that different than lighting the candle? So the Shmir Shabbos Kochas and Tzitz Aliyahs are both distinguished. That when it comes to the patient thinks they're not being treated properly by the doctors, and the doctors say, we don't need the candle on. We're doing fine without it in the dark. But they say, no way are you doing fine in the dark. So when it comes to their treatment, even if it's just to calm them down, so then we'll violate Shabbos for that, just to calm them down. If it's not something that's no gaya to their treatment, it's something that's, so then they don't think they're being treated properly. They just have a list of, last requests or something like that. So then we can't violate Shabbos for things that are not related to their sakonis. I do think, though, that there are some times a chayla will do better if the television is on, right? There are some people who that will calm them down. So that's not... That's already back to, that's not just psychological. That's
Yoledes with the man.
Yes. I think that might, since it's only Nisa Darabanan in the first place, and some Chaylam, that will do more than the morphine, or, than some of the pain medications that they'll give them, then that would be permitted. What about under certain circumstances, within reason? Yeah, I don't think to watch the game, because he's, some, it just is a distraction. Some people could use it. What about, though, for the doulas? The doula was a big issue a few years ago. Can he be Machal Shabbos for a woman's labor coach? That's what a doula is. It's like kind of like advanced lamaz. So there was a Paisek named of Gavriel Tzinner, who's the author of the Sefer Sedes from called Nite Gavriel, who printed an article in the Or Yisrael Journal, who said that you cannot have the doula violate Shabbos in order to get to the hospital in order to assist her patient, because either way, it's just in order to calm down the patient, and it involves a Chil Shabbos Doraisa, and therefore it's only to minimize her pain somewhat. Therefore you can't allow it. He says it just the breathing minimizes the difficulty of the labor, but it really is no substantive difference, and therefore he didn't allow it. And so I at the time, 15 years ago, printed an article where I disagreed with the Beit Sinner. Not that I'm Roy Lekach, but it was not only me, a lot of other people disagreed with him subsequently also, for three reasons. The first is the doula, when there is a labor coach, there's a less likelihood of a cesarean section. Cesarean section is certainly pikuach nefesh. That's abdominal surgery. It's a big deal. So and the husband is of no use in the labor room. He's just there. He's in the way. So you need an advocate in the labor room, and if this woman knows what she's doing, she's going to be a much better advocate for her patient than the husband ever could think of being. So therefore, it seems to that would be a good reason to allow her to be there. And if she minimizes the pain of the patient, that itself is treated as sakanas nefashos. The Shmir Shabbos Kol Chatzar Kotzer Mishol Mazalman, that to deliver morphine on Shabbos, which is an intravenous injection, is permitted, even though intravenous injections are not like an intramuscular injection. It has to be in a vein. So in order to check that you're in the vein, you have to extract blood, in which case it's a malacha midoraisa. Nonetheless, even though it's an intravenous injection, involves a malacha midoraisa, morphine can be delivered on Shabbos, because minimizing pain itself is part of pikuach nefesh. So one could argue like that as well. And either way, it calms down the patient, and she thinks this relates, whether she's right or not, she thinks the doula relates to her to the way that her care is being delivered. So that goes back to that's no different than the woman who wants the light turned on, even though it's not going to necessarily help her. And here the doula probably will help her avoid a cesarean section and minimize her pain. But even if not, even if we'll accept that it doesn't, it seems to me that this should calm her down, and it is related to how she's being taken care of, and therefore it can be allowed, even if it involves a malacha midaraisa, which anyway won't. You just get to take a taxi. It's not going to involve a malach midaraisa. Involve only nisim midarabanan, and can be allowed. In that context, Rabbi Neuberger made the point, I don't know if emphatically enough, it's always critical to have an advocate in the hospital on Shabbos. You have to. Dr. Abraham writes in the Mishmas Avram, this itself is pikuach nefesh. There must be an advocate with someone in the hospital, and you can even violate Shabbos and nisim midaraisa to allow it. So that's why this person is going to the hospital on Shabbos, a woman in labor, her husband should go with her, or someone else is going to the hospital for some other reason, someone should certainly go with her. Either way, it might not increase the malacha anyway. Ramesh is a tshuva about someone else, the husband, going in the car together with his wife. So Ramesh says, well, it calms down the wife to have the husband there. So, and she thinks he's going to help her in terms of that. When they get to the hospital, he'll help her, help her care. So if it just calms her down, that itself is sufficient ground to allow him in the car. But either way, it might not increase any malacha to have someone else in a big ambulance. Rabbi Bleich, and one of the contemporary halachic problems, so he says that they investigated what used to be here, a Belfer School of Mathematics or Physics or something. We used to have a Belfer School here. It was disbanded because they fired everyone. And I think it resulted in a Supreme Court case. I think Yeshiva has two Supreme Court cases which we're responsible for. One is related to the Belfer School. So anyway, while this Belfer School existed, one of the things they studied was, does an extra person in a car cause more gas or more times, you press, you activate the engine to occur, or does one person inside of a car, is it negligible? They concluded it's impossible to discern because the driving habits of people are so different. Some people slam on the gas and then, slam on the brakes. Other people are kind of, easier in the way that they drive. So it's simply impossible. But they did determine if you're dealing with such a heavy car, like an ambulance, it's really not going to make any difference to have one extra person in the car. So it's always, it doesn't involve any Chol Shabbos anyway, and it's always a good idea to have an advocate there. What is one last issue with Shai Tzarechov, and that is an issue that comes up all the time. I'd say this is one of the most common Chol Shabbos Shaiwas Rabbanim get asked nowadays, is a woman wants to nurse. A woman likes to have breast milk to nurse her baby, which of course is advantageous because there's antibodies in the milk which fight off infection that follow the development of the child. But a lot of times the baby doesn't nurse as much milk as the mother is producing. So what they do is they pump milk, or a woman who's working during the week, she pumps milk and gives it to the baby in a bottle, which sometimes the babies take better. To pump milk on Shabbos, though, is a malacha midoraisa of mefarik. You're taking a liquid, extracting it from a solid, like milking a cow. Is a malacha midrayis on Shabbos. So to a woman using a pump to take milk out, to put into a bottle, to store for later, is a malacha midrayis on Shabbos. If she's going to take the milk and spill it out, it wouldn't be a malacha midrayis and be permitted in order to relieve the pressure. But oftentimes women do not want to spill the milk out. It's very emotionally traumatic. They would like to keep the milk and give to their baby. That's a malacha midrayis. So can that be allowed for the baby? So the Gemara says, Stam tinok mesukan etzal chalav. Most tinokos, well, most babies, their primary food is the milk. If they're not going to have it, they'll be besakana. So yeah, so it's a sakana safashos for the woman to feed her child. Yeah, that was true. So Tzvi Pesach Frank writes in the Haaretz, that was true in the days when there was nothing else to feed babies. Nowadays, there's formula. So if your baby doesn't take formula at all, like he'll dehydrate rather than take formula, okay, then we're dealing with the unique situation. But most babies will take the formula. Or a woman who pumps typically has extra milk in the refrigerator. She doesn't need to pump on Shabbos. So even if all the baby drank was the milk, you're hard-pressed to allow it on Shabbos. If the child is in a NICU, the child is besakonis nefashos already. I believe every child in a NICU is besakonis nefashos, otherwise the insurance company would never pay for it. So every child is in an intensive care unit. If the words intensive care are being used, someone's besakonis nefashos. So then to pump milk for the child would be allowed. Because there is some benefit to the mother's milk. It does have antibodies, which help them fight infection. It's not enough we would make every mother, you know, breastfeed in order to, otherwise we'd call them, you know, you're abusing your child if you give them formula. We never say such a thing. But a child who's in the NICU could be helped by the mother's milk. So then, yes, I think that it would be, besakonis nefashos, you know, it would be ancillary care to help the baby. But if the child is not in the NICU, Baruch Hashem, a healthy baby, I don't think the mother has the right to, you know, to pump milk on Shabbos. In order to save for later, if she has milk in the refrigerator already. Someone tried to argue with me recently that no, they showed me studies that frozen milk is not as good as the fresh milk. Whole story. I don't know if that's true or not. But either way, it doesn't seem it's a malacha midaraisa, should not be allowed unless the child is in an intensive care unit. There is one chop. This is a chop. I didn't think it worked. Someone recently lobbied to me that it does work. Is that the Chazon Ish discusses cows. I don't want to get too graphic over here, but the Chazon Ish discusses milking cows in religious kibbutzim on Shabbos in order to relieve the stress on the cow. So the Chazon Ish says, well, if you attach the pump while it's off, and then a Nachri turns it on, or it's going to turn on with a Shabbos clock, so then you haven't done anything. When you attached it, it was off. Shabbos clock turns it on. It's no different than any other Shabbos clock with regards to any other malacha. The problem is, a cow's pump stays like that by itself. A woman has to hold the pump to herself in order for it to work. So when you hold the pump there, it doesn't stay by itself. Even if you put it there when it's off, you're holding it there while it's on, that you're participating in the Malacha Midaraisa. So what you could do is, I didn't think this works, but they have this kind of a garment which you could put it on before the pump turns on, and then a Shabbos clock or an Achri will turn it on, in which case you're not holding anything, it's just staying there by itself. I didn't think they had such a thing that actually worked. I've been told recently that they do. So I'm telling you, this is mamish, the most common shaila I think I'm asked about Hilchos Shabbos. So it depends on your demographic, right? But this is a very common shaila. So if there's such a thing, you don't have to handle it at all. Maybe, you know, you could start fetching something in. But ideally, it's really not something that should be allowed. What is considered to be a chola sheyesh bo sakana, and then what is the story of chola sheyesh bo sakana? Just wrapping up. So Shulchan Aruch says in Shin Chav Ches Siv Gimel Siv Hey that a makah shel chalal, anything that has a hole in the body, is clearly a chola sheyesh bo sakana. Even a dental abscess we mentioned earlier is a chola sheyesh bo sakana. But again, we would employ the general rule of the Aruch HaShulchan, which is so valuable here. Whatever during the week we treat as a chola sheyesh bo sakana, we're running to the hospital, is the same on Shabbos too. If it's not a chola sheyesh bo sakana during the week, it's not a chola sheyesh bo sakana on Shabbos either. We don't need to be educated in terms of that. We all know what to run to the hospital for, and what not to run to the hospital for, and the same thing should exist here. Rav Sheth from the Bikve Hatzon, as well as the Nefesh HaRav, quotes from Rav Chaim that psychological illness can sometimes also be treated as a chola sheyesh bo sakana. Rav Moshe, in disagreement with Rav Moshe felt it's only if the person is suicidal and their life is really in danger. Rav Chaim felt even just quality of life sometimes for the patient can sometimes be considered to be chola sheyesh bo sakana, even if he's not suicidal. And that's, of course, something that we don't have time to get into that now. Why is quality of life considered to be chola sheyesh bo sakana? But certainly suffice to say that it's something that can be defended. That quality of life is also could be sometimes a sakonis nefashos. What about a woman who's, it's a normal thing of life, a woman's giving birth. No one's sick. woman's giving birth. Is that a chole sheyesh bo sakana or not? So it says in the Shulchan Aruch, Simen Shin Lamed Sif Aleph, that whenever you're dealing with the yogadess, you should try and minimize the surim as much as possible. Yeah, Mishanin, do it b'shinoi. Now, what's striking about that is that the Shulchan Aruch said when it came to dealing with a chole, no change, Yisraelim, Gedolim, no memait, b'surim. How come when it comes to the Ogadis and Shin Lam and Sif Aleph, all of a sudden the Shulchan Aruch has adopted the opinion of the Ramah? We have to start minimizing the Yisurim as much as possible. So the Briska Rav explains in a Sefer on the Rambam that it's because this is a different type of situation. Here we're talking about a woman who is not yet Oyoledes. We're talking about, she is preparing for birth. That is a normal part of life. So yes, it will be a sakana sefashos when it arrives, but it has not yet arrived. So therefore, you have to try and be mamayit, be isurim when you can, because there's no cholash yesh b'sakana yet. When the woman will be in active labor, she will be no different than any other cholah, and we will not have to be mamayit, be isurim according to the Shulchan Aruch. She'll be treated like a cholash yesh b'sakana, and you could have all the leniencies that implies. But what the Shulchan Aruch here is discussing is specifically the situation of preparing for childbirth when it hasn't yet arrived. So since it hasn't yet arrived, we should try and minimize the number of isurim as much as possible. What is the story with sakana? Aver, we already said, we can divide, there's four opinions in the Shulchan Aruch actually, Shin Chav Ches Sif Yud Zayin. That's with regards to Cholosh Eim B'Sakana. Cholosh Sakana's Aver, we can only divide the Yisurim Derabanan. We said the opinion of the Meiri was even the Yisurim Derai, so we don't really pass in that way. And we said every Sakana Aver, we have to treat like a suffix Sakana. We never really know what's just a Sakana Aver, what's Sakana Sefashis. With regards to Cholosh Eim B'Sakana, that means a person who's not in a life-threatening illness, but is sick. So then there are four opinions in the Shulchan Aruch. We accept the third one, that you can be Mekon Kelachar Yad or Amir Lenachri, but nothing else. Kelachar Yad, doing something abnormally, or Amir Lenachri.
If there's no Sakana Sefer.
If there's no Sakana Sefer, even less. So you have Sakana Sefashos, Sakana Sefer, Avrish Kavalim, and then you have Kol Lesha'im Bo Sakana, which is a person who's sick, but not in life-threatening illness. The problem is the Shulchan Aruch contradicts himself. Because over here in Shin Chav Ches Sif Yud Zayin, he says only Kelachar Yad Amir Lenachri. In Shin Chav Ches Lamed Zayin, Sif Lamed Zayin, the Shulchan Aruch says that a Cholosh Eim B'Sakana can take medication on Shabbos. Now, medication on Shabbos is also Midrabbanan and Gzeira Shami Yamachik Samimanim. You might come to grind up spices in order to make medication. So, Gzeira against, because of Toichin. So, the Bir Halacha asks a contradiction in Shulchan Aruch. He said only Kelachar Yad Amir Lenachri. Here you're being makel to take medication. So that's why the Bir Halacha quotes, I think from the Mishkanis Yaakov, who said no medication either. Sorry. It disagreed with the Shulchan Aruch. However, the Mishnah Berurah quotes from a Radvaz, or Shechta makes a big deal about this in the Eretz HaTzvi, Siman Vav or Zion, I'll tell you why in a second. The Radvaz says no medication is permitted too. When the Shulchan Aruch said only Kayach Yad and Amir Onachri, what he meant to say was all Gzeros Derabbanan. Not melachos midrabbanan. Rav Shechta makes a whole big deal about this distinction. The Rambam distinguishes between two types of isurim midrabbanan on Shabbos. There's exera midrabbanan, meaning we don't do this lest it lead to that. And then there's melachos midrabbanan, where this midrabbanan is the equivalent of that. Meaning we don't take medication lest you come to grind up spices on Shabbos. That's lest you come to do something else. Writing with your left hand is the equivalent of writing with your right hand if you're a righty, right? So it's not that it's writing with your left hand might lead you to write with your right hand. That's ksiva midrabanan. That's not gzeira atu ksiva. That's ksiva midrabanan. And that's treated more severely because it is like the malacha midrabanan itself. So those things cannot be permitted for cholosh eim b'sakana, malacha midrabanan. A gzeira midrabanan, this atu that, this because of fear of that, that can be permitted. And then Rav Shechter gets involved in his whole thesis about what is a Gzera Derabbanan, what is a Malachim Derabbanan, and goes through different Yisurim. Well, sometimes it's not as clear as you might think. Yeah.
Yeah, for Cholosh Eim B'Sakana, is it only Amir Lanachri for a Derabbanan?
No.
Or even Derisa?
Yeah, even Derisa, yeah. Yeah, even asking him directly, no hinting or anything, which we'll get to next time. The Mishnah Berurah, though, does quote from the Chayalim Sifkan Kuf Beis, and I would say this is traditionally the Psak that most people have, is that b'makom hadchak, you can be make on any Yisur Derabbanan when dealing with a cholosh ein bo sakana. That's the opinion of Shulchan Aruch HaRav, as well as the Egel Tau. And I would say that's what, shugar b'fi ha'olam, is when you're dealing with a cholosh ein bo sakana, you can be make on any Yisur Derabbanan. If Shechta lobbies hard against it, it's only gzeros and not malachos, and of course he's entitled to his opinion, but the Mishnah Berurah does, once he mentions this possibility already, it's off and running. So people, when it comes to a cholosh eim b'sakana, people say you can be meiko on any isa derabanan, and a lot of times that's ultimately what emerges.
We'll
the Mishnah Berurah and Sifkan Kuf Beis, quotes from the Chayyadim.
That's the Chayyadim.
Yeah. And Shin Chav Ches, Sifkan Kuv Beis. Yeah, we can make like the other opinions in Shulchan Aruch. Yeah, who allowed here? He says, "Achachai other masik dim e efshe b'shinoi mutar shelo b'shinoi." With any issur derabanan, this comes up. A person is, let's say, maybe even according to Rishathri, could be allowed. But a person is in brings a kid to the hospital, brings a patient to the hospital. Then they get let out. But anybody who's just let out of the hospital. Probably not feeling great, right? So they're probably considered at least to be a cholish in bo sakana still. And they want to get home. Or they could spend the rest of Shabbos in the waiting room. So they want to take a taxi home. Is it mutter to take a taxi home? So it's typically mutter to take a taxi home. It's amir l'nachri, which is certainly mutter for a cholish in bo sakana. And how far are you going? You're going tchum Shabbos. So we assume all of tchumin is only midr rabbanon, even if it's chutz, you know, from Yud Beis Mil. Tchumin is all the rabbanon. So you take a car service, tchumen issues, whatever it is, all these surim derabanan could all be mutter for cholish ein bo sakana. And even though the person is not in a life-threatening situation anymore, he got out of the hospital, but he's certainly still a cholish ein bo sakana. So if you have a child with you, all of the katanim are treated like a cholish ein bo sakana and will be permitted to come home. What is a cholish ein bo sakana? So the Shulchan Aruch says in Shin Chav Ches Sif Yud Zayin, if he's chayla nafal mishkov, he's fall down in bed, he's a cholish ein bo sakana. The Rama says, Ol tzar chay tinok, is a cholish ein bo sakana, anything you need for a little child, not a 15-year-old. You know, how little, we could discuss another time, but a little child is a cholish ein bo sakana. Why? Does he literally have to be nafal mishkav? So if Shechter makes a great argument, and he doesn't need my haskama, but he makes a good argument in the Bikvei Atzon, that why do we award all katanim the status of a cholish ein bo sakana, is because, not that they're more fragile, than an adult, it's rather because they'll throw a temper tantrum. They won't be able to function if their schedule or if their things that are presented to them are off a little bit, right? The kid doesn't get his breakfast, he's going to go on a starvation diet. He'll throw a temper tantrum. So since he is not able to do that which he normally does, he's already awarded the status of a chola, since he won't be able to have those things that he needs. So what you see from here is, from the fact that the Rama awarded this status to every katan, that a cholish ein bo sakana doesn't literally mean he fell into bed. What it means is he's not able to carry out the things that he normally would do. That's a cholish ein bo sakana. And you see this as well from the Rama in Reishon and Gimel, not in Shin Chav Ches. The Rama says in Reishon and Gimel that to light a fire in a house where it's cold is permitted, alidei amira lenachri, because hakol cholim eitzel hatzina. We're all cold when it comes. We're all cholim when it comes with regard to the cold. Now, does that mean the Rama believe that you actually catch colds from being cold? No, you don't. You know, your immune system might be weakened because you're cold, but that's not what the Rama meant. What the Rama meant is you're not going to be able to walk around in your house if it's cold outside. You're going to be stuck underneath a blanket, so you won't be able to function normally. So since you won't be able to function normally when it's so cold, you could ask the Nachri to light a fire, because Hakol Cholam Eitzel Hatzina. That's why Yudayan Weiss writes in Minchas Yitzchak, Hakol Cholam Eitzel Hachaim too. If you have a person who can't function when it's so hot outside, it might be permitted in certain circumstances to ask the Nachri to turn on the air conditioning if it's so oppressively hot, because we just can't do anything when it's so hot. So I'm not saying if it's 76 and you want it to be 72, but if Hakol Cholam Eitzel Hachaim could also apply, because you're just not able to function the way you normally would. So because of that, some Paiskim have extended this definition of Hakol Sheim Bo Sakana to other situations you might not necessarily have expected. Let's say a couple is going through fertility treatments, and they want to know, can you do a fertility treatment on Shabbos? It certainly involves taking medication, or maybe even an injection. Is that permitted on Shabbos? Taking medication is only mutter for cholish ein bo sakana, not for a person who's healthy otherwise. So it says in the Sefer Birchas Banim, which is all about these issues of infertility, in the name of the Chalkas Yaakov, as well as the Shevet Olevi, Rav Moshe, the Pua Institute advocates for this too, that yes, it's permitted, because you have the status of a cholish ein bo sakana. Well, cholish ein bo sakana, they're all going to shul. The answer is, yeah, but they're not able to function the way that they would. Not everything is working properly. You might even call that a sakana saver, because the Evarim are not working as they should or as they could, in terms of getting pregnant. Rabbi Bleich has an article about taking Viagra on Shabbos. So he also argues that maybe that's considered to be a chola she'ein bo sakana, or maybe even a sakana's aver, because the aver is not working properly, or maybe it's certainly a chola she'ein bo sakana. He's not able to do those normal activities of life, and that would be already a chola she'ein bo sakana. Let's say a person wants to take a sleeping pill Friday night. He can't fall asleep. He can't do that which he normally would do. I know people take sleeping pills just because they want to geshmak a sleep Friday night. I don't think that's good enough. If you're an insomniac, yes. Or let's say in the morning, you're entirely jet-lagged and you want to take a caffeine pill. Okay, so maybe you can take it. I don't think you should do it just to get a more kavana during tefillah, but I can't do what I would normally do You know, then maybe a person could take a caffeine. It's usually the same people want to take a sleeping pill than a caffeine pill in the morning, you know. But that might be permitted. It might be of the status of a cholosha aimbo sakana. The issue, though, of taking medications on Shabbos is a little bit more complicated. We said, right, taking medications asma derabanan might lead you to grind medications on, grind the samamanim on Shabbos. Even though this doesn't apply anymore in our times, no one is grinding samamanim unless you go to a compounding factory. Even I think as you mentioned during the shiur, even if you cut a pill with a pill slicer, so it says in Shmir Shabbos Kochasa that you will not violate toichin because the medications have all been ground already. Ein toichin acher toichin. You could even grind it up and put it in applesauce. You will not violate toichin by grinding medication. So you know the gzeira really doesn't apply. You know the fear doesn't exist anymore. Nonetheless, of course, Rav Shechter argued, as Rav Neuberger explained, that based on earlier poskim, just because the gzeira does, you know, the reason doesn't apply, the gzeira should continue to apply. But what is included in the iser of refuah b'Shabbos? There's two important carve-outs, two important exceptions. One is Shulchan Aruch says in Shin Chav Ches Sif Chav Alf and Sif Lamed Zayin that if it's Michael Brian, something all healthy people would eat as well. Chicken soup. We all eat chicken soup, even though you're taking it because you're sick. Chicken soup is permitted for everyone to have on Shabbos, even if you happen to be sick. It's Michael Briam. Or even if it's not my, you know, if it's not Michael Briam, it's medication, but no one here is sick. That's also considered to be Michael Briam. I'm not sick. So then it is permitted as well. Let's say birth control pills. So birth control pills, they said in Rabbi Henkin's Levaya, that he was maker with regard to birth control pills because no one's sick here. Who's sick? No one's sick. So whenever you take medication, when no one's sick, that was never included in the gzeira of refuah b'Shabbos, when no one's sick in the first place. So that would be permitted. What about vitamins? And this is the last issue. What about vitamins? So maybe you can say, well, no one's sick over here. That should not be included in the gzeira of refuah b'Shabbos. Nonetheless, Mr. Brewer and Sifkan Kufchav quotes from Magen Avraham that l'chaze gufo is also considered to be bechlal, is including the gzeira against refuah b'Shabbos, l'chazek gufo. So too, vitamins might be l'chazek gufo and be included in the iser refuah b'Shabbos. Rabbi Shechter printed like that in the Eretz HaTzvi. The vitamins are included in the iser refuah b'Shabbos. But since it's treated as medication, Rabbi Shechter feels that vitamins don't necessarily have to be kosher. If it's a pill, it's not food, it's a medication. So it's not mutter on Shabbos, but it could be mutter even if it's not kosher, and that's the opinion of Rosh Shlomo Zalman too. Rav Moshe has a long tshuva in the Igros Moshe. Rav Moshe argues, no, vitamins are mutter on Shabbos. It's not l'chazek gufo. It's a food supplement. And it's mutter on Shabbos, like any other food. But then Rav Moshe, and he was consistent on this, is quoted in the OU documents, the Messiah from Rav Moshe, the vitamins have to be kosher, because Rav Moshe treated them as food supplements. Rav Shechter felt that, you know, if you want them to be treif, you know, then you can't take it on Shabbos. Rav Shechter argued that anyway, a vitamin that you take every day, maybe it's Michael Briam. If you take it every day, even if it's medication, it might be Michael Briam. You're not taking it, you know, and unless there's a marked difference in your, you know, in how you feel, if it's l'chaze gufo, it might not be included in the issue of refuah b'Shabbos. Either way, if you take it every day, it might be Michael Briam. Or certainly we had Rabbi Neuberger mentioned, right, a medication you take every day. Did he mention that? There might be no gzera against refuah if you take it every day. The Gemara says they used to take chiltis Thursday, Friday. If you didn't take it on Shabbos, so you were brisakonis nefashis. So you can take it on Shabbos too, this chiltis, Gemara and Shabbos and Kuf Mem. So Shlomo Kluger derives from here, any medication you take Thursday, Friday, it's part of a series, you can take it on Shabbos too. Rav Moshe said, what are you talking about? That's only because if you didn't take it on Shabbos, you'd be besakonis nefashos the chiltis if you didn't take it. So too, you didn't take it, if you wanted part of a series of antibiotics and you miss one day, it'll affect you, you can take it on Shabbos. If it won't affect you, you can't take it on Shabbos. And many, many others disagree. That when it's part of a series, if you take it every day, it's permitted to take it on Shabbos, even if it would be medication. So the vitamins too, even if it would be medication, if you take it every day, perhaps it could be mutter. Rabbi Shechter only takes vitamins, that I've discovered. He only takes vitamins if he's not feeling well. He takes vitamin C. I told him, Rabbi, it doesn't work. If you only take it when you don't feel well, it doesn't work. But anyway, folic acid, which a pregnant woman take, is sakonis nefashos. That's mamish, the doctors say you have to take it. So that would certainly be mutter. Go ahead.